The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. But you probably already know that if you've been listening to the show for the past 4 years. We've been here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Well, today is Sunday. Today is Sunday, October 2nd. And you know what today is? The third day of the Topsfield Fair. That's right. I've been spending the past couple days over at the fair. If you were thinking about heading out today, great day to come by and visit. We will be there. I run a booth called the B'nai B'rith booth. No, it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with finance. It's just something that I enjoy doing and volunteering. I've been doing it since I was 13 years old. For those of you that have been to the booth, or been to the fair, I should say, you know that our booth is among the most popular, most heavily visited, because we have the lowest prices for the largest quantities of food. And we have some really great options for you to choose from. My wife, Laura, and I will be there all day. If you happen to swing by the fair today, come by the booth and say, hey, I listen to North Shore 104.9, or I listen to Dollars and Cents, and I have got a treat for you just for coming up to the window to say you listen. So please do. Please come up and introduce yourself. Say hello to myself or visit my wife, Laura. One of us will be at the booth all day long today. A couple other great things that are going on. How about the Red Sox? Red Sox are in the playoffs. Celtics have started their preseason. After this Sunday, we don't have to worry about who the backup quarterback is going to be anymore. Tom Brady's coming back, as long as he makes his trip back from Italy, and I'm sure he will. I'm sure he's going to be raring to go come Monday and ready to take on the next challenge that he sees in front of him. Jeez, how do we like that? I mean, the Patriots are 3-0 going into week four. Who would have ever thought that that would be the situation? No one even cares if the Patriots lose this Sunday. No one even cares. I mean, sure, I'd like them to win, but to walk in, to hand the ball over to Tom Brady with a 3-1 or a 4-0 start, unbelievable. No one expected that to happen. Anyways, we are here providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Lots of things for you to talk about, for us to talk about today. But let's start first by talking about the Topsfield Fair. Why not? Because you know what? That's a place where you need to spend some money. You walk into the fair and it's going to cost you 10, 11, 12 bucks just to park your car. And then you got to buy your tickets to the fair. I mean, it's probably $50 to $80 out of your pocket before you even walk into the fair. So you want to make sure that you're getting your money's worth. That's for a family of four, you know, it's a lot of money. Make sure that you're getting your money's worth. There's so much stuff, so many great things to see at the fair. First thing you do is go over and visit all of the different types of agricultural buildings that are at the fair. Check out, and because you come on Sunday, I mean, most of the vegetables still look relatively fresh. When you go over to take a look at some of the award-winning vegetables the following Sunday, you know, the second Sunday of the fair, they're not so award-winning looking anymore. So now is the time to really take a look. I mean, look, Paul Parent was just on just before me. He's giving you great gardening tips. What a great way for Paul Parent to segue me into this show to tell you to start taking a look at some of the agriculture that is at the Topsfield Fair. They'll have the world's largest pumpkin, of course, but they'll have some interesting zucchinis and squash. And one of the things that I used to love to do, if you have never been, if you bring in little kids, bring them to the chicken incubator. Seriously, there's a poultry stand at the fair. You walk in, you can see all different types of chickens and roosters and all that kind of stuff. But over to the left, just as you walk in, it almost looks like a small little chicken coop with plexiglass walls all around it. And there's a whole bunch of eggs in it. And inside those eggs are chicks. And through the course of the week, those eggs start to hatch. And you can watch little chicks hatching right there in front of your eyes. It's a really, really cool experience. We got some great apple cider. that you'll always find over near that booth. You'll find some great farm animals. You want to visit the animals. You want to pet some of them. You can ride on an elephant. They'll have it like you think you'd see an elephant at a zoo, at a fair, right? Yes, the elephant at an agricultural fair. Who would have thunk? You can get some great stuff going on. Some of the shows that are going on. If you're interested, Casey and the Sunshine Band coming in next week. We have the flying, I say we, because I feel so invested in the fair. I've been doing the fair. I've been working at the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair since I was 13 years old. I'm now 50. So now I run it. We've been there a long time. So we've seen a lot of things come and go. But I will tell you, some of the greatest secrets of things that get underseen, and I want you to see them, is grab your pamphlet when you walk in to the entrance to the fair and take a look at what's going on in the grandstand, what's going on in some of those smaller venues. Sometimes it's in the hall. I think they call it Coolidge Hall. Sometimes they put on some great shows inside Coolidge Hall. Visit and find where some of the exhibits are going on, some of these dance troupes that show up, some of these small local bands that you probably, maybe you ran into them at a bar one night and you said, geez, I wish I could see those guys again. Chances are they're performing somewhere at the fair. Now, you want to get to the rides? I'll let you decide what you want to do on the rides. I enjoy the atmosphere more of where the agricultural stuff is and where the great food is. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't promote the fact that I will be at the fair all day today. My wife will be there all day today at the B'nai B'rith booth, which is right at the intersection where Kittyland and the main entrance to the fair meet. If you've ever been to the Topsfield Fair Administration Building, we're right across the street from that. Or you can go visit my friend Andre, who's at the real corner intersection. Andre sells the Aussie hats. He's the Aussie hat guy. You go visit Andre and Rich. Their booth is right in front of mine. Go tell them. Tell you what, if you buy a coat or a hat from Andre, I'll throw in a free hot dog. Andre knows that. He always just ask Andre for the free hot dog. Anyways, come visit my booth. We've got gigantic hot dogs, quarter pound hot dogs. We have my wife makes brisket sandwiches. We make them fresh every day. We have kugel. We have knishes. We have bagels. We have chicken fingers. We have hot dogs. We've got matzo ball soup. You getting hungry yet? We got lots and lots of things. I have these great giant M&M cookies that are cooked fresh by my friend Dennis at Honeydew Donuts. Dennis does the big, gigantic M&M cookies. I'm telling you, the biggest portions, lowest prices. Come visit us if you'd like. All right. I promise you we talk about some financial advice in a language we can understand, too. You know, the American economy has actually hit a turning point. It's been a long time coming since the economy has hit a turning point, because one of the things that I find fascinating, that it has been a very, very long, long time since we've really started to see an uptick in average household income, the median household income. Median household income is interesting. The median household income is just around $56,000. That's the median household income in America. What's interesting, though, in 1995, the median household income was $54,000. So in 20 years, the median household income has grown by $1,000. $1,000. That's ridiculous. This is coming out of the Census Bureau data that recently published this thing. But on a short term, I mean, that's horrible. I should say that. That is absolutely horrible. I oftentimes think to myself, what should be the starting wages when you get out of college? I think when I got out of college in 1989, my starting pay was somewhere around $28,000, $29,000. That's maybe it was $25,000. Somewhere in the high 20s, I think, is where my starting pay was. When you get out of college today, there are many people starting. This is now, almost 30 years later. People are getting maybe as a starting pay out of college in their 30s or high 30s. Some are in their 40s. Think about that. That's not much of an increase. And for a college-educated person in 30 years. I want to tell you, you want to get your best bang for your buck if you're a young kid wanting to make money right now? Don't work retail. Don't get a job at Walmart or at the mall making $9 an hour, or actually, whatever it is, $10 an hour. After taxes, yeah, you get a 20% discount maybe on your clothes. You want to make some real money? Here's two ways to make real money. Number one, babysit. Seriously, tell your kids to babysit. They're going to make a ton of money. It's at least 10 bucks an hour under the table. The other thing, and this is what my kid's doing at 16 years old, deliver pizza. I'm amazed. at how much money Jerry comes home with every single day, all cash, for delivering pizza. We, for whatever reason, our incomes aren't going up, yet we're willing to tip more than we've ever tipped before. Think about it. 20, 30 years ago, when you walked into your local Dunkin' Donuts, which actually might have been Mr. Donut back then that you'd walk into, right? Did you ever leave a tip at the counter? Never. You wouldn't. There wasn't a tip jar out there. When you went to your local sub shop, did you leave a tip? No. We leave tips everywhere. We think nothing of it. Jerry says to me, Jerry was working the counter this past week. On Mondays and Tuesdays, Jerry works the counter at a pizza restaurant. I won't mention the pizza restaurant because maybe they shouldn't be paying him cash, but leave that alone. So Jerry's working the counter at this pizza restaurant, and he says, he said to him, how'd you do this today? He says, we each got $30 in tips. I said, what do you mean you each got $30 in tips? I thought you were working the front desk. He says, I am. He says, he's the counter guy. Then there's a couple guys that make pizzas, a couple guys that make sandwiches. There were five of them working in the place. In a four-hour shift, Jerry collected $150 in tips for people walking in with getting takeout. This had nothing to do with pizza delivery. He was actually standing at the counter. And so we had to take the $150, split it up amongst the five guys. He says, Dad, you would be amazed at what people leave for tips. They're like, they'll pay me $6 or $7 for a pizza or something to go, and they'll hand me a $20 and they'll just stick the rest of it in the jar. I'm floored with the number of people that are out there. Yes, we live in a nice community and all that kind of stuff. We all live in nice communities here on the North Shore. I've one of my business associates, one of her sons works for a pizza place in Swampscott. He's actually making more money than Jerry is. They're all talking about it. You want to make money. You're worrying about, I can't find a job, or all they'll pay me is minimum wage. If you're 60 years old, start delivering pizzas. It's the way to go. It is the way to go. Do that. I'm amazed at how insane the tipping is. Work at Starbucks. Work at Dunkin' Donuts. There's this expectation that you have to tip now. No. The only place you should be tipping is in a restaurant where they're making $2 an hour. That makes sense to tip. But when the person working the Dunkin' Donuts stand is making $10 an hour plus tips, I mean, it's not worth going to college at this rate when you see what the starting pay is for people getting out of college. I mean, how hard is that? I'm serious. I'm really serious. Think about what it is that when you think about money, you got to be smart about this thing. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to get a job. I want it to be really easy. I mean, great. How hard could Dunkin' Donuts be? Seriously, I mean, the only thing you need to be able to do at Dunkin' Donuts, sorry, but you might have to speak several different languages, and I'm not even talking about people from different countries. None of us can understand anything that comes through the drive-through window. You know, I can't understand you, but I mean, you got to be able to decipher what people are saying. But God, I mean, how hard is some of these jobs, and you're getting paid a fortune? I feel bad for some of the people that work in your local, I don't know, clothing store, your local CVS, whatever. Would you imagine? Think about this. Could you imagine walking into CVS Pharmacy and them having a tip jar at the counter? You'd think, you wouldn't do that. No, you've run into CVS, right? You said, I'm going to grab a water. I'm going to grab some chips. I'm going to grab something convenient. You'd buy something at CVS. Do you ever leave a tip in the jar? There's not even a tip jar there. But if you go into your local, I don't know, your local convenience store at a gas station, at a Fast Freddy's, whatever it might be, at a 7-Eleven, you may leave a tip. Why do we do that? Why do we do this? I'm just thinking, this is called financial advice in a language you can understand. And I'm going to ask you some questions that maybe challenge us. I raised this question last week. When I was a kid, and my parents would take me to a birthday party, you know, you'd buy a gift for the kid. You'd bring the kid a gift. How much money did you generally spend on a birthday gift? Now I'm 50 years old, so this has got to be what, like 40 years ago? I think we spent somewhere between $15 and $20 probably for a birthday gift. I want you to ask yourself, when you take your kid to a birthday party right now, and you got to bring a gift, how much do you spend? Let me guess, you're not spending $50 or $60 to accommodate for inflation since what it was back then. You're probably spending around $20, $15 or $20, right? Why is that one of those items that we will refuse to pay more for, but we're willing to sometimes spend 20, 30, 40% of what we pay for an item as a tip at the Dunkin' Donuts counter? There's something wrong with that. There is something very wrong with that. I'm going to try to help you unwind all of that stuff. I'm going to try to help you understand the financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to put some money items out in front of you, give you some thoughts as to what you need to know so you can better, so you can make smarter decisions with your money. One of the ways that we do that, by the way, outside of this show, is our weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. All you need to do to get Planning Pointers, it's free. You go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Click on the bottom of the website. Hit the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Boom, it's sent to you starting this Friday. And when we get back, I'm going to share some of the stories that have been in our newsletter over the past couple weeks so you get a sense as to what you can expect with our newsletter. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president, CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We've been doing financial planning since 1968, almost 50 years. Hard to believe. I haven't been doing it 50 years. I'm 50 years old. My father started our firm back in 1968. He ran the company until 2007 when he retired. And I joined the firm back in 1991, took over the firm in 2007 in place of my dad. And so right now we have two financial planners, two certified financial planners, Marion Gilman and myself. She joined me as a partner a few years ago. And I'm delighted to say, oh, I should probably mention this. Welcome, a shout out to Kyle Reinheimer, our newest employee who started this past Monday. Kyle joins our team to support Marion and I. Kyle comes with a great deal of experience. He was working for a mutual fund company in Boston. He was what was called an inside wholesaler. He was the one that provided insights and guidance to financial advisors like me on any information that we might have needed about this particular mutual fund family. So Kyle decided to leave that world and work in the world of personal finance. He's studying for his CFP exam. He has his Series 7. He's licensed. And so we are getting him up to speed so he can support Marion and I with helping us to provide even more concise, better, more just clearer, I want to say, and more analytical advice for our clients. Hopefully over time, Kyle will work his way into our system and become a financial advisor himself. We'd like to see that happen at our office. So if you happen to listen to the show, and if you want to do me a favor, this would be really funny. Kyle's new email address is Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at FriedmanFinancial.com. It would be a good hoot this week if you just dropped a note to Kyle that said, "Hi, Kyle, welcome to Friedman Financial," or "Hi, I like listening to the radio show," whatever it is. Someone just send an email to Kyle. I think it would be hilarious because he would not be expecting it. He's going to be a great addition to our firm, and we love having him with us. Hey, did you happen to see Spamalot at the Music Theater this week? Spamalot opened on, I think Tuesday was the dress rehearsal. I was at the show on Wednesday, which I guess was considered opening night. What a great show. If you've not been over to the Music Theater, check out Spamalot. It is absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Get over to the Music Theater. All right. One of the things we were talking about in the last segment, we were discussing tipping and how if you want to make some money, certainly as a youngster, and or if you can't find a job that's paying you something more than $35,000 a year and you're just struggling, you might as well just work as a pizza delivery guy or someone that might even work at Dunkin' Donuts. One of the things we were talking about at Dunkin' Donuts, though, is that, you know, these guys, you have no idea how much money these guys make in tips. They're getting paid $10 an hour, plus they have to share in all the tips and all that change and all the coins that get collected. The thing that drives me nuts, and I was talking here with my producer, Chris, the thing that drives us nuts is when you buy something for, I don't know, $2.64, and there's change. There's 36 cents in change. And instead of them handing it back to you, they just drop it right into their tip jar. It's like, did I authorize that? Now, if I went digging into their tip jar, I bet the sirens would go off, the police would show up, someone would come up with a cleaver and chop off my arm. But they can drop their own. They can drop our change into the tips. Like, just I see the way you're dressed. You can afford that, so just throw it in. Or here, you don't look like you can afford that. Here, let me actually charge you. Here, I'll give you your change back. I don't know where that all happened, but I think the worst thing that could have ever happened to Dunkin' Donuts is the Dunkin' Donuts app. You see, here's where it gets honest now. Here's where it gets honest. If you have the Dunkin' Donuts app and you're paying $2.75 for a drink, you flash your app at the scanner, you put your phone in your pocket, there is no money exchanged, and there's no tipping. What do you think of that? I mean, unless you're going to reach into your pocket and throw cash in, people aren't going to do that. But I think as much as we like the convenience of it, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, all these places have got to be hating it. They got to hate the app because Starbucks as a company is loving it because they can manage things a lot better. But as an employee, as a barista, or a barista is, I guess, the proper term. What do you call a Dunkin' Donuts guy? In Starbucks, they're called baristas. I don't know what you call someone at Dunkin' Donuts that works the counter. The counter guy at Dunkin' Donuts. Which would be a good name because, actually, Dunkin' Donuts does things the right way. Small, medium, large, extra large. Not tall, grande, vente. I mean, but at any rate, I'm going off subject here again. My point is I think that the apps, which I absolutely love, I love my Starbucks app, but you generally don't tip. Now, I will tell you, the new thing that Starbucks has added to their app is when you do charge your item, a window pops up that says, oh, your order has been processed. Would you like to leave a tip? It actually pops up on my screen. Would you like to leave a tip? Now, that I found out, I was driving me nuts. I was aggravated by it. If you don't know, if you actually use the Starbucks app, there is actually, you go into the information, the notification section of Starbucks, you can actually turn off that window so it doesn't pop up anymore. I found it. You can do that. Okay, we have to talk about money stuff. You know, we were talking about how incomes in America haven't changed much over 20 years. I mean, $55,000 was the median household income in 1995. Today, it's $56,000. That's not a lot. Now, in 2000, remember the dot-com boom? The dot-com boom, we went from $54,000 up to about a little more than $60,000 as our median income. And then it slowly started to dip down. It came back up around 2006, 2007, went back up to 60. And then since then, almost 10 years, it has precipitously dropped. The median income has dropped. And I thought, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, because everyone that I generally associate with, when I meet people in town, you know, their incomes haven't grown exponentially, but I think that they're getting general raises each year, even if it's 2.5-3% raise. I mean, it means your income's going up. There's a lot of people whose incomes aren't going up. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes you continuously get laid off, or you have to find a new job and you have to reset your income from what it was a few years ago. You know, look, and people will always say that in 1998, 1999, when people were making a lot of money, we were paying people too much money for some of the jobs that they had. A lot of it was based upon the great stock performance of the company and all of that, and we had to reset our expectations. But I think it's ridiculous that the median income in America has grown $1,000 over the past 20 years. But here's some optimistic thoughts. Did you know that over the past 1 year, from 2014 to 2015, we've got good news? Good news. The median household income in America has increased by 5.2%. The median income for white Americans from 2014 to 2015 has increased 4.4%. For Hispanic Americans, it's increased 6.1%. For blacks and Afro-Americans, it's increased 4.1%. Now, here's what is very important. Here's the most telling part of this at all. From 2014 to 2015, the lowest income bracket, the 10th percentile, if you were between 0 and 10%, amongst the lowest income earners in America, from 2014 to 2015, you've seen your income increase 7.9%. You're getting paid more money. Now, a lot of that has to do with the minimum wage changes that have happened across this country. But you're starting to see some positive signs. A couple other pieces of information that you might be interested in. The highest income, the top 10 percentile, the 90th percentile, if you will, their income only increased 2.9%. 25 to 35-year-olds, they saw their income last year increase 5.6%. And 55 to 64-year-olds saw their income increase 3.5%. The other thing that's good news is the poverty rates here in America have gone down. 2014, poverty was at 14.8% of the population. That means you were making under, I think it's $12,000, you're considered poor. That number's dropped to 13%. For white Americans, it's dropped from 10 to 9. For Hispanic Americans, it's dropped from 23.5 to 21. From black Americans, it's dropped from 26 to 24. And the news gets better all along. And so as we look at these improved statistics of how poverty levels have dropped, how incomes have grown, there was another interesting statistic that came out this past week, and it took a look at and surveyed people over the age of 65. And what's the average income of retirees? Because if you think about it, retirees make up a bigger and bigger and bigger size of our population. And many people seem to think that, you know, we've saved all this money, we're going to have great lifestyles in retirement, and usually as a financial advisor, my job is to try to really help you maximize that experience in retirement. In fact, we find that in many cases, our clients draw an income equal, if not better, than what they were earning when they were working. But that, we learned, is not the case. In fact, the retiree population, it is what's tremendously pulling a lot of these median averages down. There was a report that came out that took a look at all 65-year-olds, and it asked for what is your income in retirement. Now, income could represent anything from the Social Security check you receive, the pension check you receive, distributions from your IRA, interest, dividends, all of that income. And it was fascinating to me to find out that Massachusetts had one of the highest averages of 65-year-olds from an income standpoint. So if you're over 65, I'm going to reveal a number to you that's going to help you understand. If you're over 65, are you in the above average, the average, or below average from an income standpoint? When you think about all the income that comes in, that's the bottom of 1040 of your tax return. You want to know what that number is? You ready? Well, you're going to have to stick around. We've got to take a quick break. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Take the money and run.
Flying cows, killer rabbits, and a bevy of beautiful showgirls. Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater proudly presents Monty Python's Spamalot, the smash hit musical lovingly ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Knights of the Round Table.
Join King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table in this outrageous Tony Award-winning musical comedy, Monty Python's Spamalot.
Everybody, always look on the bright side.
Show-stopping musical numbers, French people, and knights who say me are just a few of the reasons audiences eat up Monty Python's Spamalot.
So try your luck in Camelot. Run your luck in Camelot.
Playing now through October 9th only at North Shore Music Theater. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org.
Spamalot.
Sponsored by ASR Roofing.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We're about half past the hour. Hope you're all doing well. Red Sox are in the playoffs. Celtics start up preseason. Last game with the Patriots before Tom Brady makes his appearance. And most importantly of all, Topsfield Fair is open. So come by and visit. If you happen to be at the fair today or sometime during the week, swing by the B'nai B'rith booth. That's that giant food booth that's just across from the administration hall. It's behind the guy with the Aussie hats. We have been there for 53, 54 years, something like that. It's over 50 years, I know that. I run the booth there with my wife, Laura. We have over 270 volunteers. All of the profits all go to charity. We do not make money at this thing at all. And we sell some of the largest portions at the lowest possible prices. If you happen to be at the fair today, this week, swing by the booth. Say that you listen to the show, and I have got a special treat just for you. I want to thank you for listening. I mean, we really enjoy all of the folks that tune into Dollars and Cents each and every week. I hear from so many of you. You drop me emails. You send me a text. You stop by and schedule free initial consultations at the office. It's been great. I mean, I would say that we probably schedule a free initial consultation at least once a week with a listener from the show. And it's really been our honor to meet with you. If you would like to schedule a free initial consultation to help you get your financial house in order, to make sure that you're prepared for retirement for the long run, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Jody is not there today because today is Sunday, but you'll leave a message on her machine. Jody's my assistant, or also known as the Director of First Impressions, and I hope she makes a great first impression with you. She will schedule time for you to meet with myself. Yes, you'll meet us in person, meet me in person. A lot of people think they're going to get farmed off to somebody else. Our office isn't that big. There's only six of us. But anybody that calls in the radio station, you are going to meet with me. All right, when we left you last segment, I was talking about the median income, median household incomes in America, about how it appears that they've only grown, the median household income has only grown $1,000 over the past 20 years. But all of a sudden this year, finally, there's an uptick, a nice uptick. Median household income from 2014 to 2015 grew by $5,000. That's a 500% increase. That's a huge number. Huge number. And we talked about all the demographics of who is seeing the best impact. And in fact, it's the minority communities that are actually feeling the greatest impact of the newfound income that's available around the country this year. We talked also earlier about if you weren't happy with what you were making, working your general retail job or whatever it might be, that there's a lot of other options that are out there. And I mean, some of the jobs that include both an income and a tip jar are very, very lucrative, certainly at places like pizza parlors, at places like Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks. Of course, if you're a waiter or waitress, I mean, that's a great opportunity. But I will tell you, that is hard work. I did that for 4 or 5 years. You will bust your butt. You will make a lot of money. And the clock will tick right by. But it is hard work. But one of the things that we were talking about was, okay, let's take a look at the 65-year-old, 65-plus. Seniors are turning 65 years old every day at a rate of 10,000 birthdays a day. And all of those folks are relying on a variety of sources of income, Social Security income, pension income, interest from dividends, from savings, from annuities, from IRA distributions. Maybe there's a small amount of rent you get, whatever it might be, all that stuff that you report on your tax return. You know, we were talking about the average median income here in America is now around $58,000. What's the average median income of the 65-year-old? What do you think it is? Is it more? Is it less? Is it the $58,000? Well, surprisingly, a report came out this past week that talked about each state and what their average income was for a typical 65-year-old. And coming in the top 10 was Massachusetts. And you know what that average income is? $28,000. $28,000. Think about that. $28,000. Is that what your income is? Is it more than that? Is it less than that? We find that generally here in the Northeast area, the North Shore area, the Merrimack Valley, Southern New Hampshire, the typical retiree needs to spend somewhere between $3,000 and $9,000 a month. That's spend. That's after tax. So they need to spend, that's a retiree that wants to spend around $36,000 to $108,000, somewhere in that range. Now, the reason being, of course, that you need to spend that much might be because your mortgage is already paid off. You don't have as many expenses. But remember, earlier when I was talking about the median income, I wasn't talking about expenses. I didn't talk about what you spend. I talk about what's coming in, what's reported as household income. That's $28,000. So you can see with a large number of people that are seniors, it is an enormous pool of people. You can see how that brings that average down. Let's say if you took a look at all 65-plus-year-olds and then all, I don't know, 20- to 50-year-olds, The average 20 to 50-year-old, you think their income's above $28,000? Of course it is. It's higher. So what's happening, and that group in between, that 45 to 65-year-old, those are your peak earning years. Those are your peak earning years. So you can see how sometimes these scales get thrown way off kilter. I hate national averages. I hate when they come out and report what the national averages, or when these candidates come out and they talk about what the tax rates are of Americans. Folks, did you know that nobody that you and I really know of pays 45%, the highest tax rate? You might pay that highest tax rate at 45% for some of your money, but not all of it. Not all of it. Nobody does. We live in a progressive tax system where the first set of amounts of money that you make are taxed at zero. Then it's at 10. Then it's at 15, and it moves up along the way. The typical retiree who lives here in Massachusetts, who lives especially Merrimack Valley, North Shore, Southern New Hampshire area, do you know what your average tax rate is? 10 to 15%. That's the tax rate that you pay. Yet most people think upon retirement that they're in the 28% or 31% tax bracket. And they go, oh my God, if I take more money out of my IRA, I'm going to push myself up into a whole nother tax bracket. No. If you move more, if you add more money to your income, only the amount that's above what you'd have to pay at 28% is taxed at the next tax rate. That is all. It's a progressive tax system that we have here in America. And you also have to remember, if you're making $100,000, let's say you're making $100,000 and you participate in your company's 401k plan, and you say, okay, I'm going to put 10% of my pay into the company 401k plan. On your tax return, it's only going to show that you made $90,000. Remember, you're supposed to be making that pre-tax contribution, right? So if that's your only source of income, are you taxed at $100,000 or taxed at $90,000? You're taxed at, to start, $90,000. But wait, there's more. But wait. If you own a home, if you pay state taxes, if you make charitable contributions, perhaps you fill out something that's called Schedule A, which is your itemized deductions, things that you get to deduct. You hear, well, interest, mortgage interest, deductible. Property tax, deductible. State income tax, deductible. Some charitable contributions, deductible. So all of those numbers get added up and are potentially deductible against that $90,000 that we just said you were making. So let's say that income is, that total amount is $15,000. Now what are you down to? You're down to 75. Now, wait, but there's more. There's things called personal exemptions. Personal exemptions. How many people live in your house that are dependent on your house? Maybe there's just two of, let's just say there's two of you. So that's another $12,000 or so against the 75. We've now brought you now down to $63,000. That is what you pay tax on. Not $100,000 that you started with. You pay tax on 63. So now you think about what's that tax number. You'll go to the tax table or they'll do it on a computer and you'll figure out, oh, that's not bad. Especially when you take a look at that number and compare it to what your gross income was. It's a great system. It really is. There's ways for us to reduce our taxes in a number of ways. Ways for us to reduce our taxes. Now, no, did I just make an argument for the reasons why we should raise taxes? No, I did not do that at all. What I'm saying is that many people don't understand the tax world, and they don't understand how taxes work in their own life, and they don't know how to take advantage of some of the benefits that are staring them in the face. Now, people would say, well, only the rich know how to do that. No, that's not true. If you just simply picked up Quicken or TurboTax and put your tax return in through TurboTax, they're going to ask you a bunch of questions. Did you have any deductible property? Did you pay property tax? Did you pay mortgage interest? They'll start asking you all the questions that need to be asked, and you could save money. Yes, you'll have to spend $49 or $69 to buy the software. But I'm telling you, either that way or going to talk to a tax preparer is well worth it. Look, you're heading into the end of this year. We're sitting here at October, first week of October. We've got three more months until the end of the year comes around. You have opportunities to prepare your personal finances appropriately so you can still minimize taxes for the year. Another thing that you can consider is if you have a big tax liability coming up, maybe you have to sell a piece of property. Maybe you have to sell a security. Maybe you have stock options that need to be liquidated. Have you considered the fact that maybe, just maybe, you sell half now and then half after the 1st of January. Maybe you can spread your tax liability out that way. Lots of different things to think about. When you work with a certified financial planner professional, they're going to give you so much more than the investment advice that you need. Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, and I do speaking all around the world, don't let anybody lead you to believe that investing is difficult. Investing is very easy. It just requires discipline. It does not require much in the way of intelligence. It requires discipline. Look, you also know it's not very hard to lose weight. You know what you need to do, but it requires discipline. That's the challenge. A financial advisor, just like when you work with a health coach, they're going to stay rational during your emotional times. They're going to keep you focused when you're getting unfocused. And they're going to test to see what your limits are. What are your breaking points as to when you say, I can't do this anymore? It's going to get you on track. One of the other things that a certified financial planner will do is help you stay focused and keep you serious when you think it's just fun stuff. Look, many people come to my office with different relationships that they've had with a multitude of financial advisors. They've tried to do something on their own. They've got an account at Fidelity. They got a 401k. They got an account at Merrill Lynch. They got another one at UBS. They got accounts with an annuity company. They have a life insurance policy. They have some old 401ks still with their previous employers. And they come to me and they say, you know, Mark, I'm approaching 63, 64. I need to get ready for retirement. And I need to start thinking about this. And I look at all the statements that they bring into me, along with their Social Security statement, their tax returns, their benefits booklets, their bank statements. And I said to them, look, I see all these names of all these financial advisors here. What are you doing here? Why aren't you talking to your financial advisor, the financial representatives that sold you all of these investments? And I get the same answer over and over and over and over again. The answer is very simple. I don't view these people as ones that would take my whole situation very seriously. I view them as somebody that would simply want to sell me something. Or they solved a problem when I needed it. A simple problem, but now my problems are much more complex. And they're really, honestly, to me, they're really not as complex as you might think they are. I see this stuff every day. And we're not dealing with super rich people. My typical client has a net worth, if you add up everything they own, including their house, a typical net worth between $500,000 and $2.5 million. Now, yes, we are moving towards the upside on that, and we may have to raise, and that number gets larger and larger. But the typical person that we deal with also wants to spend between a little bit more, $5,000 to $12,000 a month in retirement. If I'm describing you, and you're saying, you know what, I see my life filled with complexity, so much so that I am almost paralyzed in not knowing what I need to do to help me achieve the retirement that I want, give my firm a call. Give me a call. I'll sit down, I'll talk with you in my office in Peabody. Phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And we'll have more for you when we get back. More financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to the final segment of Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. We're here providing you financial advice in a language you can understand, and we do that each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We're overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station. Doesn't seem like many people are up and about this morning, but that's okay. hopefully they're planning on heading over to the Topsfield Fair, where we'll have lots of fun activities. Topsfield Fair's open, started opening on Sunday. I can't even say my words right. It opened on Friday this week. I run a booth called the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair with my wife, Laura. It's a huge booth. It's right across the administration building, right behind the Aussie hat guy. We've been doing this for well over 50 years. Well, I haven't, but the booth has been there. Like I said, my wife and I now run it. We offer the largest portions at the lowest price at the Topsfield Fair, a wide variety of a lot of things. If you happen to be swinging by today, just knock on the window, ask for Laura, ask for me, and say, hey, I heard you on North Shore 104.9. I'll have a special treat for you today. We'd love to meet some of the listeners. Love to meet you. And please feel free to swing by. A couple things I want to talk to you about. You know, we've been talking about incomes and how the fact that it looks like finally this past year, people are finally starting to make a little bit more money. And we also talked earlier in the show about how people that are complaining that they're not making enough money, certainly young folks that are complaining they're not making enough money, about how maybe that they're looking in the wrong places because there's lots of money-making opportunities to be made. You just have to think about things a little bit differently. We talked about certainly teenagers and young 20-year-olds, the opportunities to work in stores like Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or even at your local pizza place where you're getting both income and tips. Now, I'm not a big fan of the whole tipping scheme, but it blows me away the number of people that leave tips in the jars at these counters. Now, look, if you're in the waitressing business or in the server business, in the restaurant business, you absolutely need to leave tips. And I'm a very good tipper in these restaurants because I worked in that industry for a number of years before I got into this one. In fact, you believe this, I was a waiter at two places here on the North Shore when I was a kid. I was a waiter at Denny's. That's right, Denny's across from the Liberty Tree Mall. And that place on Saturdays and Sundays, if you remember as a kid, that place would be unbelievable. You'd have an hour to an hour and a half wait at Denny's on a Sunday morning for breakfast. The other place where I was a waiter and then soon the restaurant manager thereafter was the Ship Restaurant, an advertiser here on the station. They're revitalizing the Ship. Michael Levine is the head chef over at the Ship Restaurant. He's really bringing it back to life. Yeah, I was actually a waiter there a long, long time ago. And then they asked me to be the restaurant manager as soon as I got out of college. I did that for a little while and then moved on to other positions. You know, I bring this up to you because the way in which our lives, the way we were brought up, is different from the way that our kids' lives are being brought up. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, when I was a kid, this was like this, or I can't believe they're not doing this now. Well, I want to share with you an article that came out of Your Boomers, I think was the name of the website, .com. It's a story about eight things your grandkids don't do and aren't likely to do that drives you nuts. You want to hear what they are? Here's a few of them. Number one, they don't send emails. They don't send what do you think about that? They don't send emails. Now, wait a second. You just got on this whole computer thing. This is what I hear from a lot of folks that are boomers or grandparents. They say, well, I got a computer and I'm learning about technology so that I can email my grandkids. And you're upset that kids aren't emailing you. Look, I got five kids and I know they don't email. When I say, why didn't you check your email? Dad, I don't check my email. Just text me. Just text me. According to Pew, just 6% of teenagers use email daily for casual communications. They prefer text or reach out over social media platforms like Snapchat. What's more, many young people don't send their first email until high school or college now when they absolutely have to for school or business. Think about that. My son Corey, who's 13 years old, he doesn't use, I ask him, Corey, what's your email address? He goes, I don't know. He says, just text me. My daughter, Alana, just this afternoon, she's at URI. And when she graduated from North Andover High School, she said to me, Daddy, I want to get a MacBook. And I'm a big PC guy. IBM PC, you know what I mean? The PC world. And Alana's like, well, I'm going to get an education, Daddy. I want to be sure that I have a Mac. I said, all right. So I get her a Mac. And just this week, she calls me up and she says to me, Daddy, my teacher sends us attachments as Word documents and I can't open them. What's wrong with my computer? It's like, oh, well, if you had a PC, that would have been preloaded on your computer with Microsoft Office.
So now I have to go buy my daughter Office for Mac, and she doesn't even know how to install this software. You have to set up an Outlook account, an email. I just know Google Docs, Dad. Well, Google Docs and Google Life is wonderful in the school systems. You know why it's wonderful? Because it's free. It's free. But if you want something of sophistication, something that's business appropriate, I'm not talking about graphics. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff that the Macs do. But when it comes to business communications, Word documents, Excel documents, PowerPoint and Publisher, you got to start with the basics, and that's where it goes. And so I have to start my daughter off entertaining and educating her about that, because we all just assume we take Excel and Word for granted. There's no idea. Okay? Here's another one that your kids aren't doing anymore. They don't leave voicemail messages. How many times have your kids tried to call you? They realize you're not answering. They do not leave messages. And they don't expect you to leave messages either. If you're calling them and you want to leave a message for them, they're not going to be checking the voicemail. In fact, it was said here, one of the students had written, "Don't leave me a voicemail unless you're dying." Seriously, don't leave me a voice. This is from kids. Don't leave me a voicemail message unless you're dying. Here's the deal. Unless it's from your doctor, voicemail is passe. Folks under 40 dislike leaving messages and cite wasted time, spam messages, and performance anxiety as reasons they no longer do so. Performance anxiety. You know what that means? They just don't know what to say. When they hear the beep, they go, oh, la, 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 la. They don't know what to say. Performance anxiety. It's crazy. It's become so widespread that one New York City etiquette school has to teach professional voicemail skills in class. You could imagine taking a class, seniors in high school. This is an elective, voicemail 101. Hi, this is Mark. I'm not available to come to the phone right now. If you wouldn't mind, please leave a message at the sound of the tone. I mean, how hard is that to say that? But no, you got to have it. You got to have a little edge. You got to have a little. Remember years ago when we used to have answering machines at home? And yeah, you could screen the calls on answering machines, but oftentimes we would hear all of these tapes. You could buy tapes of or different things that you could do, which were kind of spooky or weird or crazy voicemail messages. You know, all these things. I mean, now kids are like, I don't get the whole voicemail. Just leave a damn message. Can I say damn on the phone, on the radio? I think I can, right? That's approved. Okay, good. My producer didn't cut me off there. I didn't get a beep. All right, here's a couple other things. All right, a couple other things that your kids, your grandkids don't do, and you're expecting them to do something different. You know what your grandkids don't do? They don't eat poorly. Think about that. This may come as a shock to those of you with grandchildren in the chicken nugget and PB&J years. I, for instance, like 2 to 8, 9 years old. But Gen Z, that young generation, wants food that's made from scratch with lots of fruits and vegetables. Yes, you read that right. As the kids are getting older, they want more fruits, they want more vegetables, they want more home cooking. Your kids know lots about nutrition. They're teaching a lot of that in school, and they care about the environmental repercussions of their meal choices. They prefer Chipotle over McDonald's. They want pancakes over cereal. And they're more interested in ethnic meals now more than ever before. They like Mexican, one of their favorites. In fact, many children consider themselves foodies. All in all, it's not bad for their health, though it may be a little bit tougher on your wallet. Think about that. Your kids, I mean, yeah, when they're young, they want mac and cheese, they want their peanut butter and jelly, they want that stuff. But as kids are getting older, they want better food. And you know what part of the problem is? Not that it's a problem, it's a good thing. We're exposing our children to better food. Think about how much more often we go out to eat. And when we go out to eat, we're not going really to Fridays and Applebee's anymore. We're going to some nicer restaurants. We're going to where the food's organic or the food is farm to table. And the kids are all getting into that expression. They all understand it. They are eating healthier. Exercise is important to them. Being overweight is not something that they get excited about. They all watch the movie Super Size Me in school. And they understand that it's not a healthy lifestyle. No, for those of us that are over 50, we just say, screw it. We're just eating whatever we want. That's, you know, that's what we do. And we don't understand why the kids, come on, kids, let's go out for an ice cream sundae. No, Dad. We got an apple around. It's crazy. Anyways, I continue to go. Things that your kids aren't likely to do anymore. They're not writing in cursive. They are not writing in cursive. You know, it's interesting. A good friend of mine, Stephen, whose daughter attends Peabody High School, was attending an English class, and the teacher, this one teacher, not the other teachers that all teach the same grade, this one teacher said, your reports must be written in cursive. Can't use a computer, can't type them, can't even print it. You must write your reports in cursive. I mean, I'm sorry. That teacher is ready to leave the school system. Must be. But she must be tenured so that she can't leave. But I will tell you, there's so many people out there that say, you know what? We have to move on. We have to move forward. We have to embrace what our children are doing. Yeah, we loved cursive. And we all think, well, if I had to do it, they had to do it. No, our kids are having to do so many other things that you would have never had to do before. But you know what one other thing is that they don't do? Think about high school. In Peabody High School, where I went, door nine, which was the door that led out from the cafeteria out to the bleachers, which overlooked the field, was where all the smokers would hang out at lunchtime. That's where you would go. Door nine, you'd all go outside, you'd smoke, right? I don't even know if door nine even is unlockable anymore, because you know what? Nobody smokes anymore. You ask your kids, do you know anybody that smokes cigarettes? They'll tell you, I don't know anyone. They know plenty of people that smoke pot, but they don't know anybody that smokes cigarettes. Folks, as grandparents, as we begin to think about how we want to spend money on our children, be careful about forcing them to get back into what your lifestyle used to be. Embrace theirs. Join Pokemon Go with them. Seriously, join Pokemon Go. Get out there, do stuff that they enjoy. Try to do things differently. We try to fill each and every Sunday with a variety, a potpourri of different things that focus on everything regarding money, regarding personal lifestyle, whatever it might be. And I hope you enjoy the array of choices that we have on this show, because I never know what's coming out of my mouth next. I got to wrap things up. I've been told that I have to get out of here. We've been here for an hour. We will be back next Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. The show is called Dollars and Cents. Been doing it for 4+ years here at the station. I've got to get out of here. And if you're heading up to the Topsfield Fair, come knock on the booth. I've got a special prize for you. I will be at the B'nai B'rith booth with my wife, Laura. Swing by it. I've got a special prize. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.